And this is how the game renders and unrenders things that are fading in and out. Because
Hmm.
while they're fading out, they're still there.
Mm.
So you can get inflicted with bleed or poison or anything after you're dead, and it'll
Beautiful.
Affect. Curse is also that way, only it has a permanent effect.
Yeah.
This is exploitable in some cases, where you can keep damaging something that's supposed to be fading out while it's still there, and that's something you can do in the Four Kings fight, is while a king is dying,
you can still
you can keep what you can still hit it and deal damage to the main health bar.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
But right, so that was the other thing about Seath, was that before I had fought him the first time, got cursed, decided to begin the next stream by going and removing the curse, and that's when I talked to Ingwe again, and I'm like, oh, there's a whole other area here that connects to the Valley of Drakes. We'll come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no, you went down there and found a dark race, and he kicked your ass, and you're like, no,
yeah,
not
you,
doing that.
You went there, found the dark wraith, and like unflooded the area, and then you were like, okay, we'll come back to here. So,
yeah.
Anyway, after that, then, you didn't end up beating Seath.
And then I fought him some more and got cursed again, and decided that I didn't want to uncurse myself every single time if this was just going to happen. So I beat him at half health with the raw club plus 3 or whatever.
It was plus 5 raw club.
Oh, was plus it plus 5 at that point? Okay.
It's the cap. That's the rawest a club can be.
You got an achievement for making the biggest raw club.
Oh.
You did. It was the raw weapon.
Yeah.
So if that counts as a feather in my cap, I will take it. I planted my feet.
It works.
And
it worked.
And crushed him with sticks and harsh language. Screw that guy. And all of his slappies and
Slappy.
His big pit of bullshit invisible platforms.
Yeah.
One of the things that didn't occur after the fight, which I thought was going to, is if you fight Seath and kill him while you're standing too close to the fog door, the fog door will lift and Slappy and
they can
they will walk. They're still there. They want blood.
Awesome. I would have loved that.
That happened to me the most with Ornstein and Smo, where like
Jesus.
The big men.
The big guy. The big
man. I'll run past the big men and then they will follow me in after I've beaten the boss.
But
it's like, time for the after party. Let's get him. He's worn out. But
So you went back to the graveyard after this, though.
Wait. Anorlondo, we forgot something.
Wait, what did I do?
Dark Eye Orb is quivering.
Oh, yeah, I remember that coming up, and I'm like, I don't have time for this.
You tried to use it, but
it was Lady Perth. You had Lady Perth summoned, and you can't use invasion items while you have a co-op buddy. So Lady Perth created a lie by existing.
Oh, my God.
So you use the Black Eye Orb in that big hallway with the Adonis twins.
While you are a human.
Well, no, you don't have to be human. You just have to be alone.
Oh. Okay, I thought invasion could only happen while you were...
It's plot. It's special.
It's an
NPC.
You are invading an NPC. Again, the game gives a lot of ways for even an offline player to emulate the online play. So
that's really clever, except that specific implementation of it is kind of dumb, and I didn't get it.
Right. Well, yeah. The big thing is that anytime you re-enter that room after reloading the game, the Black Eye Orb will quiver again, but you never actually re-entered that room ever again in the over the course of the game. Specifically avoided that specific room. You never re-entered.
Yeah, we were all holding our breath every time you went to go see the giant blacksmith. Because like, you'll go to the giant blacksmith from the princess bonfire, right?
No.
Right? No.
Why would I do that?
It's the fastest way.
Oh, I didn't know that it was, because I didn't... I walked through there all of once.
Yep.
Yeah. It was all... It's the only time you needed.
And there were enemies in that big hallway, and I'm like, oh, that's dumb. I don't want to have to go through those in order to get to the blacksmith.
That's one of the things the warp kind of, I guess, it's like I like that it hands it to you late because it forces you to traverse those areas more.
That's kind of cool. Okay, so I had beaten Seath.
Mm-hmm.
Warped back.
You knew that there was a... You remembered the Tang wall at the bottom of the graveyard, at the Tomb of the Dragon.
I did, because, okay, I beat up Seath, and I got my Lord Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, this is one of the things that I need, and at that point I had forgotten how many there were. But
you tried talking to the snake.
I did, and he didn't tell me anything new, and I'm like...
Oh. All the snake would tell you is, yo, it's completely fine for you to kill these men that have outlived their usefulness.
Right.
Do not vacillate.
So,
he says, do not vacillate.
Then I went to the orange door at the back in the Tomb of the Giants.
Tomb of the Giants. Again, that point in the game is where you are supposed to enter the Tomb of the Giants and actually be prepared to fight things.
I felt like old hat at that point.
Yeah, you were just like, hey, how's it going, Prometheus? How's it going, dogs? Hey, it's, Bone Pillar.
There's also three ways to make light. You found two of them. Mm. You found the Skull Lantern, which
is there a miracle that does it?
There's a sorcery that does it.
Ew, okay.
That makes a little light over your head, just like the sunlight magnet
I
does.
Think that came up in a tooltip at some point, and I remembered.
Yeah, cast light
cast
is
light.
A...
Okay.
What do they call those in the industry? Just like loading screens that tell you things. Jeff Gerstmann said it. I don't know.
The loading screens actually seem to help you a number of times with just like information. Like,
they did.
I
wish that I could have stayed on the loading screen to read some of them.
If you
honestly
want to see them, I can. People have collected the images and I can show you those
well,
later.
Well, that's. Again, I'm not. I like getting information from inside the game and from people that I'm talking to. I don't like sitting and looking up wikis of.
Yeah, I know. It's just pictures of the loading panes, though.
But, The next step, yes, because there was a cutscene that showed me like two orange doors that I had seen and one that I hadn't, or like didn't catch from an angle that I recognized it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went after the next orange door because hey, go here is what the cutscene said, and then I went there and finally made it through. Let's forget about whatever happened. I don't think anything important happened on the way down.
Not especially. Were you invaded? I invaded you.
Yes,
in
you
tomb.
Did.
Yeah.
In
I
the tomb.
You.
And it was at that point that I was like, no, screw that. And I ran past the tiny skeletons and past the pinwheels.
I caught you there.
And I even tried to duck past you and did. But at this point, so there was Gravelord Nito, and he is cute and adorable, and I love him.
He's the first dead guy ever.
Big old skeleton made of skeletons, and I thought
the
he was great.
Skeleton.
And then,
you weren't the. If there was like loadouts where your loadout isn't that good, it's not very good against Nito because dodging the scream attack is sort of timing dependent, and if you're too fat, you'll just get stabbed.
Yeah, no, I got stabbed a bunch by that. But what I quickly figured out was that he also had reanimating skeleton things,
mm-hmm.
and this time I don't remember where I had seen it, but I'm like, I need a divine weapon, and so I picked one up and said, okay, let's pick off the skeletons, and I did, and it worked, and then he was kind of easy, and I just...
It might have been the Divine Blacksmith or something like that that mentioned it.
The Divine Ember, I think, might have mentioned it.
Oh. Mm.
But that plan, I think the first time you went in, and again, you were Rock Club, plus five, and Crescent Axe.
A naked Crescent Axe.
Yeah, naked Crescent Axe.
You can upgrade that?
Yeah, well, it uses Twinkling Titanite.
Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, are there weapons that aren't upgradable in the game? I think every weapon is up.
I want to say that's not true, but
anyway, but you beat up Nito. Like it was a couple tries, and there was that pit that had force damage when you entered the room. That was that's like a recurring theme in the graveyard because Pinwheel had the same thing. When you drop down, you had to take a hit to get into his fight.
Hmm. Like, yeah, I thought that was kind of bullshit, and I didn't like it. And I felt like I was like falling down the wrong way somehow. And
there is a Featherfall spell
for wizards who are cheaters,
but you just kind of have to accept the force damage. And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can.
But anyway, he did like Nito didn't feel even near as bad as a lot of the other bosses, and I felt pretty comfortable.
Yeah, that's
fighting
he's,
him.
He's more fair. Yeah.
Like was without the other ads interrupting me.
Yeah, you never you stayed far enough away from the giant skeletons that they never bothered you, and you killed the others. So then it was a fair fight between you and the biggest skeleton, and you came out of top.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. And then I had another Lord Zold. I'm like, yeah, we're rolling at this point. Then I didn't really remember where to go or what to do. So I tried to go everywhere that I had not been and do everything. And I remembered at some point picking up the Hornet Ring and getting eaten by a wolf with a sword.
There was the wolf with the sword, yes. Sif.
And I decided to go after him.
Sif.
Yeah. Sif.
Sif.
That thing people like for some reason.
The dog!
I don't like the dog.
I love the dog.
I think he's cute, and I thought it was super sad when he got to low health and started... Like, he was the first thing that I remember seeing that acted wounded.
Yeah,
and it broke my heart.
He guilt trips you, the shit lord.
I mean, it didn't work because I still killed him, but I felt really bad about it.
And I don't like Sif. Everybody likes Sif. I don't like him. He wastes your time. He jumps around a lot. The attack where he spins around is like impossible to know how to block until someone tells you.
Oh, the two-hit block thing. Yeah, I have a note on that that is.
Oh, Lord.
The trick with the two-hit block thing is that if you hold your shield and attempt to block both hits, the second hit will go over your head every time and like nick you over your shield. You have to like drop your guard in between the two hits and bring your shield back up. There's no real way to figure it out outside of like.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all, and the fights that I considered went well were where he chose to not do that attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also, like, jumps around a lot. Like, he'll jump away, jump towards you. Like, he takes so much time just getting to the guy so you can kill him.
He's the big old dog.
I don't like the dog.
I didn't like the fight. Like, when I first went there, it was way too early. I decided, no, this is stupid. I'm not going to fight him. Because I have no reason to.
Yep.
But at this point in the game, I was sort of scratching for things to do because I had been through the two doors that I knew existed and I hadn't seen the third one. And I'm like, let's just try going everywhere. I remember there was this boss. Let's beat a butt. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
Got Sif. And I got another ring from him.
The Abyss.
Which said you could go into abysses. And so I tried jumping off the nearest cliff, which is not an abyss, I learned. So then I just sort of kept it on, looking, hoping that I at some point came across an abyss.
It was sometime during this time that you found the wiggling tree, right?
Yes.
In the forest?
Mm-hmm. I did. And I don't remember anything in particular important behind it, but it felt like I should have been there like a super long time ago when I was...
You can find a very useful ring back there. The wolf ring, which gives you more poise. Like, when you wear the stone armor, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but you can be, like, fast and have poise. It's very, very good.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it lets you be super fast, but actually take a hit before you stagger, so...
Well, that's useful for someone other than me.
Well, when it was you were like, I have full hovels and wolf ring on. I can take probably my health bar and damage before I will stagger.
I am the world's fattest man, is what he means.
I will plant my feet, and you cannot move me.
I'm made of Play-Doh and dark steel. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So you found that. You also beat the Hydra, then.
I did, because that was also, I felt, a boss, and I was, again, itching for something to do, and when I finally, like, got to him, it was so anticlimactic that I felt awful.
Yeah, getting that last head can be quite a problem, can it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, killing the last head. Like, did you end up killing the last head on the Hydra?
I think I backed off a little bit, and then, you know, stopped, like, getting close and blocking, and just sort of, like, moved to try and get him to, like, go somewhere, and then quickly run to where I thought his head would end up and attack it that way.
I think he pulled out the bow finally at one point.
Right. He didn't shoot the head, though. He shot the body. This killed the body with shots. You can also shoot the head and kill the head's HP, which will kill it faster than shooting the body. Either one works,
though. Yeah, I think when I was shooting it with the bow, got like one hit on the head and the number was bigger, and I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So that area had like a little cove behind it, like behind the Hydra.
Go there after you kill the Hydra and reload the area sometime.
Oh, god damn it.
Yeah, there's
scraped my face against the entire thing, and I was like, there's nothing here.
It only spawns there after you reload the game.
And so I really think it's supposed to just spawn there, and like it just doesn't for some reason, and they just never fixed it because they've been busy with another game.
God damn it. Well, okay. I'll go there again. Yep. There was the snake eater ladder and
I got back to
like Barguest land.
Right.
Where I had gotten eaten by cats. So the first time that I went into the dark forest of Ha Satan and kicked a wizard off a cliff a couple times. I finally left that place, decided it wasn't for me when a Barguest jumped out of nowhere and grabbed me and bit me and wiggled me around and I died. And so I'm like, nope, too stupid, not doing it. And this time, though, I was chuffedier and took some hits and killed them. And
Sonic the Hedgehog, porcupine, cats.
That felt kind of anticlimactic, too, because there was like nothing to them at that point.
Yeah, you kind of did it backwards, because those are supposed to be like a barrier to getting to Sif. Because like you can go to Sif from the Hydra. And like,
yeah, you go up the ladder and pass the cats, and then you...
Wait, why wouldn't you just like pay the money for the seal for the door?
If he didn't have the money or didn't know he was selling it or where to use it, there's... But most people buy the seal and use it.
Yeah, I feel like it's way, way easier to figure that out than to figure out, hey, let me beat up this gigantic Hydra beyond these crystal golems and then climb a ladder behind a waterfall that I don't know is there.
Yeah, it's
like...
It's there for that reason. It doesn't mean people use it for that reason.
Right. It's another option to get to the area, but you generally just kind of
Anytime I like found a new place and it actually connected to an old one, I'm like, oh damn it, stupid Valley of Drakes.
of the Drakes is always around.
Yeah. Well, they actually come to think they probably put that in so you would have a way to beat the game without spending without needing the souls in case you were just that bad and couldn't keep a bloodstainer on for anything. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe. So, okay. I had beaten up Sif and found the Abyss Traversing Ring.
Yep. Covenant of Artorias.
And I'm at that point like, okay, any Abyss will do. I am going to keep this on until I find one. And so I sacrificed my Ring of Steel protection to have this thing on constantly, just in case anything that I came across in my travels counted as an Abyss. And that probably ended up with me dying a couple times because of the lack of defense for the effort, but...
Perhaps.
And then the one Abyss you did find, you timidly sat in front of for a good 5 minutes before...
Like, there's just no way down, but I can't leave. Do I bone out? Do I...
I thought of boning out. I thought of looking for, like, hidden doors, anything. But yeah, I did get that... The place that I had said, I'll go back here again. I went there. And there were like poo monsters who could make happy heads.
They could fire riot foam at you.
Yeah.
That is riot foam, isn't it?
I thought that was really cute the one time that they got me with that.
You were just like super fat.
And I'm like, whatever. This is my like normal movement speed. I'll just beat you up.
But yeah, that was also a contested zone. You fought the four kings, 4.5 kings, and you after a couple attempts at them with the raw club, mind you, you were like, okay, I'll go ahead and summon some help.
Yeah, I figured that, okay, this would be easier if I had some help. And upstage payload, Funk.
Funkamus
Moslemus joined for that, and we almost fucking got it.
Yep. And then Lady Perth joined.
Lady Perth joined, and
And then you joined.
And then I joined and said no.
you blasted me with a spell that I had never seen that killed me in one shot.
I didn't know you were that... I was just trying to catch Lady Perth off guard. I didn't know you were that close to me. But there was a rhyme and a reason for it. When he summoned Funklimus Moslimus, he had a highly upgraded weapon and beat 2/3 of the boss on his own very quickly. This incensed me. It made me incredibly angry.
I didn't want me to
I didn't
walk
want him
through
to,
it.
I didn't want him to do it for you. Okay. Because that's fake. And you were so close. You said it several times. If I had a better weapon, this would be better. And you thought about it. And you almost went and made a better weapon. And I thought if I forced you to do it alone, you would go and do it, and everything would have been better.
That what you ended up forcing me to do was do the same thing but harder.
You beat it with just the raw club. Gnome was sitting there in the zoo saying there is no possible way that you could possibly beat it with the rock club.
I didn't think you could race that effectively because you didn't have enough health and the club was so crappy.
I figured out which hits did more damage and started selectively blocking those, but sometimes also just taking them.
The Four Kings is one of the other bosses, like the Capra Demon, where the fat plan of just get in there and hit them is very effective because the Four Kings' sword damage is much higher on the tip than it is on the blade, on the close blade.
So when
you're really close to them, they just can't hit you for real damage outside of their magic or grab.
Yeah, and in a way, two-handing your club was like getting a better weapon. Because it did more damage.
Yeah. I'll beat them faster before like another king appears, and that basically worked, and that gave me like breathing room to swallow my Justice Cola and go after the next one.
The big thing was you finally got down there and beat one king, and that gave you hope.
Yeah,
and you were like, yeah, I could do this. I can beat one king. I can beat four and five.
Right, and then I beat four kings, and the fifth one showed up. I'm like, no.
Yeah. They keep spawning until you beat the main health bar.
That's really dumb, and I hate it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be...
That felt like a fraud.
It's supposed to be four kings. Like, if you beat all four of them, they're at zero health. Mm-hmm. But the kings are not exactly one quarter. They're like, under by 100 or 200.
Okay.
So...
Which you wouldn't notice if you were using, like, a big weapon.
Because you can hit their shadow as they're disappearing, too.
Mm.
So usually you're gonna kill all four kings. Like... Because of that, they're under health because they want you to kill the fourth king about the same time that the main health bar goes.
And I think you can have a maximum of four at once. Like
I
want to
say
room.
You can only have three in the ring. I've never actually seen four. I guess I've never survived four or three. Right.
Okay, I'll try that someday. Just going out down there is the toughest.
The other kind of cute part about the whole thing that kept me jazzed about it was that they reminded me of nobodies. And it felt like fight at the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2 where there's this big floppy white-looking guy in a black abyss. And
the Jive Walkers.
Yeah. That really is the first boss from Kingdom Hearts 2. Holy crap. Got these weird-looking,
He's got zippers all over the place. Yeah. And he's got little twiddles and big, mitten hands. And it he felt like I was fighting those.
It doesn't, tell me anything about a Kingdom Hearts enemy. Zippers and big hands.
Look, how about this? They were white instead of black.
Oh.
They were white enemies because they're nobodies, and that's...
Yeah.
Nobodies are really...
So, I felt really great after beating four point whatever kings.
4.1 kings.
4.1 kings.
Then you upgraded your weapon because you were personally fucking with me.
Wait, which one did I upgrade? I don't remember.
You equipped and then upgraded the dragon's tooth.
Well, up to that point, I couldn't even wield the damn thing.
I know, but you got a better weapon, was the
thing.
Here's a
thing about wielding weapons, and this is, I don't think it's mentioned anywhere, but the tooltip does say sometimes...
It
doesn't say how, or it doesn't say why. The tooltip, you can sometimes you can two-hand a weapon that you can't one-hand. You don't have the strength for it. Mm. Like the Dragon Tooth, I guess the way this works is that the requirement for the Dragon Tooth is 40 strength. Mm-hmm. When you're two-handing a weapon, it actually treats your strength as though it has a 1.5 times modifier.
Like D&D. Huh. Like a strength of 27 will let you two-hand the Dragon's Tooth.
Yep. So you can two-hand a weapon before you can one-hand it.
Yeah. But that wasn't even it. Like, just any old weapon. Or you probably could have used the Dragon's Tooth if you had ate some of the souls in your pocket.
Mm. Pocket souls. Mm.
You had a ton of those.
Pocket souls. You finally use them to upgrade the tooth.
Yeah, I was happy about that at least. Like,
Once I finally got the strength to wield it, I'm like, this is the only dragon thing I've ever seen or heard of. Let's throw it all into that.
Crusher.
And then the number got huge and crushing was cool. And I remembered Clifford and how he had smashed me to pieces. And I'm like, yeah, biggest club. Let's make this our plan.
The club.
So you after that, you really didn't know where to go. In your heart of hearts, you knew where the game wanted you to go. You knew what was left to do, but you didn't want to go fight Ceaseless Discharge again.
I didn't, because I thought it was some kind of stupid bonus boss.
Yeah.
Which there are stupid bonus bosses.
There are stupid bonus bosses.
Because, for instance, the Hydra thing is sort of there and huge and not actually a boss. Mm-hmm. It wasn't behind a door.
The Butterfly, though, is a boss you don't have to fight, but you did.
Yep.
Which, you were able to fight Clifford because you fought the Butterfly.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, it gave you a key, which is only to the basement of the tower, which you can just get to anyway.
Well, you can't actually get in that tower without a key. Like, that tower, there's locked at the top, too, like where Clifford is. So to get to Clifford, you have to beat the Butterfly or have a different key.
But
you also get the Divine Ember for killing the Butterfly. There are rewards for it. But.
Yep.
So. Okay, though there's another thing. Mm-hmm. Is that a lot of these bosses had, like, special boss souls that were, like, can be used to forge a special weapon, and that never came up, and this is the part where I will start talking about science.
Okay.
Which is something that I consider vile in games. If you have to perform scientific-like experiments, exhaustively trying every single thing to do it, that's no good.
Yeah.
I wanted more of a hint for those, and I was not willing to simply find and upgrade every weapon upon every different path until someone said, oh, you can use the soul.
So
here's how it works. You bring a plus 10 weapon to
the giant blacksmith,
and then certain weapon types can use certain boss souls to become unique weapons. Like the axe I shot lasers at you with was a city old axe, upgraded to plus 10. I brought it to the giant blacksmith and mixed it with the iron golem soul to make his axe.
Mm. That's sort of how I imagined it working, and I didn't feel like sitting around gathering enough souls to upgrade things and titanite shards and on the off chance that I might get a weapon type that I like using that's slightly better than the numbers I have.
Ugh. It may have come up if you had made a plus 10 club, because if you kill Smo last, you get the soul of Smo.
And you can make his hammer.
And you can make his hammer out of a club. But it's not very good, and you should not have done it.
Yeah, most of the boss souls are used to make the weapon that they wield or
A weapon that is similar to them in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. And the giant blacksmith is the one who kind of does that. And I guess I'm trying to think how you would even...
I had no clue that he was the one.
Yeah.
The way you usually end up is, like, you end up... A lot of... most weapon types can be made into some kind of boss weapon. And the most common upgrade path is plus 10. So if you go there with the boss souls you have at that point with a plus 10 weapon, the odds are higher that you'll know what to do with it, but it's not 100% there.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, so that's honestly the point at which I was considering just crushing them in my hand.
That would not have been a poor use.
They're worth quite a lot. Mm-hmm.
But especially that's like, honestly what I should have done at some at certain points. But
yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Although some of them can make very cool weapons.
But I do agree with your science point where if the actual solution is to trial and error every single possible choice that you have available to you to find the ones that are correct, that's just not a good gameplay system.
That's more like Demon Souls, where the weapon upgrading paths are a lot more arbitrary. Everything in Dark Souls is plus 5 increments, like plus 5, plus 10, plus 15.
Hmm.
Splits it plus 5, splits it plus 10. And then you have different upgrade. Things in Demon Souls are like plus 7, and like sometimes it's plus 10, sometimes it's plus 3 or plus 5. It's all over the place, never really makes sense. It's very silly.
Jeez.
Man.
That game is fake.
I was hurting for a better weapon for a while and continued to use one even after I was hurting pretty badly. And
it's basically the entire game you were hurting
beat
for.
Up,
but you did finally land on a weapon that really performed.
That suited you. The biggest club.
That was pretty great. So, okay, I did go and attack Ceaseless Discharge and equipped some kind of dumb things to use against him. And you joined me that time.
This time on my side. I felt bad at how mad I made you and New Londo. Because you were really salty at me at that moment. You're like, you know what? Fine. I'll fight the boss alone. Thanks, Gnome. Like,
screw you, Gnome.
I was like, oh,
if I go human, I'm just going to get murdered by Gnome.
I was like, you know what? The least I can do is show him not to fight on the stairs. So I tried being
so, and that basically worked, and
yeah,
and we beat him, and yeah, also, then the area opened up, and I'm like, oh my god, an entire freaking area!
Yep.
I never actually went back and fought the Minotaur land. Field of Minotaur.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's a prize at the end of it, and those are, I mean, it's just 7 Minotaur.
Apparently in the art book, they have names, and they're like the 7 heroes or something.
Get
out of
here.
There's like a whole bunch of lore to these 7 idiots who you kite out with bow and then kill them.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up fighting a couple Minotauruses on the way to other bosses in the demon lair.
You got stuck in the Wiggler trap.
I did. I crushed my way out of there. They weren't all that bad. And at this point, I started to like beat things on my first try, which really hadn't happened to that point. Every single boss, it was like, fight them a little, learn their patterns, get killed, go back, do better, and then finally get them.
You had learned the skill at that point, but now you had the firepower.
Yeah, that was basically it.
Oh, Lord. And up to this point, I had in casual conversation with external parties who know nothing of Demon Souls and Dark Souls, I had mentioned, like, I want this game, but with the numbers filed off. Because I felt like I had basically understood what the combat system was telling me, and I wish I could have just levied that. Rather than, okay, you get his attack pattern, now do it 300 times in a row without dropping it.
And that's once you actually have a weapon, that's kind of what it turns into.
Yeah.
Once you're like, okay, get his pattern, hit him 10 times.
Right.
Enough like, to make it a real, like, a challenge, but not, like, we're not talking, like, this pattern 100 times.
So I managed to beat Fire Sage first time, and he was like the prison asylum.
Yeah, they used that boss fight a couple of times where it's mostly the same thing.
And I'm like, I got you. Yeah, but I blocked it, so that was fine. Because apparently I could.
You can. You're huge. You're huger than he.
Yeah, I basically was, and I crushed him. There was another bonfire. I'm like, they're just too generous with these. And let's see.
There's another bonfire and a way back up to the firekeeper lady, the mm-hmm. spider lady.
Mm. Yeah.
Elevator.
So
that elevator made a lot more sense when you couldn't like warp anywhere else but
Firekeeper
bonfires.
Well,
yeah.
The centipede demon.
Centipede demon
was at the bottom of that, and I tangled with him, and I figured out that I shouldn't lock onto him because that made my camera go crazy, and I couldn't tell what the hell was happening.
Yep.
And I stepped in lava.
That fight
there is
so.
There's kind of a trick to that fight, but you don't really need to know it because you've already beaten.
Yeah, like I don't even really care at this point.
You saw the arena. That the trick is that little arena to the right is the better place to fight.
Oh, right. After the fight. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah.
So you know it.
I had guessed once I had explored the area after killing him.
You even said, "Oh, is this where I'm supposed to fight him?" And yep.
Yeah, okay.
So even I didn't know that for the longest time. I used to fight him by the door every single time.
Yeah.
I think you found that out when I fought him, when I went over there and you're like, wait, what is this?
Yeah.
So,
this is kind of a mantra that I had throughout the entire playthrough and I've posted it a couple times in my Tough Guy Advice for Lazy Guys Twitter, which is Samurai Ebooks.
Ah, yes.
If you can't do something right, do something hard.
Oh, that is so apparent.
I ended up on that path quite a bit in my entire playthrough.
My lord.
We kind of knew you would going into. Mm. I talked to James about this before.
Mm-hmm.
How it all reminded me of the original FF5 Fiesta you streamed. And how you tried to fight Neo X Death. Under equipped, under leveled, outgunned, outmanned.
But you were, by God, you weren't going back to level up.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't going to go buy hats to prevent confusion. No.
Nope.
Just throw yourself against it. And I was like, that's
good lord.
It happened.
So. Yeah, at least a little bit of that is me. Probably a great deal of it, in fact.
Really?
How I was not going to have a mere video game
defeat you.
Beat me. I'm gonna whatever. They've designed in solutions. I must have one of them in my hand already. Let's just use that.
Speaking of fights that don't have a solution in hand.
So the Bed of Chaos.
You got up. Well, okay, you found the lava area with the dragon butts.
I did. Yeah, I didn't bother fighting any of those because that felt wrong and stupid.
Yep.
And they were in lava already and I'm taking damage and I'm like, no. If you're not going to give me time to figure out your patterns or whatever, I don't even care.
The pattern is they jump and kill you.
Yeah, so, the dragon butts are more thematic than anything, and that is super weird to say and to consider.
Yeah, there were a ton of them and they were all over the place and not moving. I'm like, it looked shoehorned in. And kind of lazy.
Yeah,
kind of. That's kind of the demon ruins as a whole.
And going through, going through the demon ruins, completing the game, and then going back to the undead asylum, where the asylum is super polished and very detailed.
The asylum is the last area of the game they made.
Huh.
Because they wanted to, having known their entire game, craft the beginning of it.
Wow.
So they knew what mechanics to introduce to you and how
that's
they
really
specifically
good.
Wanted to show you.
But yeah, so, okay. I did... Oh, there was a sorcerer that I beat up.
Yeah, a pyromancer lady.
Yeah. She was wearing my outfit. Or maybe, I mean, really, I was wearing hers. But,
Yeah,
beat her up. Ran down the other way and found the Titanite demon that I never actually killed, but just ended up running past because I didn't want to hit him a thousand times.
He is the strongest normal enemy in the game.
That doesn't surprise me. Having
also note, he is a normal enemy. He will respawn.
Good God. All of the other Titanite demons were gone after I hit them.
Yeah.
He's the farmable source of
shit.
Titanite.
Demon Titanite. Yeah.
I dodged a gigantic bullet. I was on the tipping point of tangling with that guy, running up, hitting him from behind with my leaping plus three dragon tooth, running the hell away so he started ignoring me, and then doing that again, and it would have taken an hour,
and then he would
then I would have died.
You'd have gotten like two Demon Titanite out of your deal.
And never used it.
And never used it. You could have fed it to the snake for like 100 souls apiece.
I might have ended up doing that if it came to that. But then, if I had done so, I would have immediately died to the next boss, and then he would still be there, and I would have felt the worst.
So, tell us about the Bed of Chaos and your experience with that.
So it was this big tree, and I'm like, all right, let's fight. And then there are these like points off to the side, and I'm like, wait, that's a glowing orb. I'm gonna hit that. And then I'm like, hit glowing orb, and then a cutscene happened. I'm like, yes, cutscene, that must mean it's right. And then I went to the other orb after, like, dying and coming back, and the first orb was already hit, so I'm like, progress. And then I hit the other orb, and then I fell in a pit, because pits appeared everywhere, and I felt like that was dumb, and I felt cheated, because, like, what other boss arena had pits really except Iron Golem? And if he dunks you, that felt like, okay, haha, comical, rather than like a designed in peril for like him to actually do that. The falling off a cliff in the Iron Golem fight felt like the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah. He was more like, there was a danger of like you blocking his hit and then it flinging you back off the cliff.
But that was like intended.
That was on you though.
It totally is.
Yeah, that's
whereas,
your fault.
Whereas this one, it's like the ground crumbles beneath you. I'm like, no, this is so dumb. And then I tried biding my time, just sort of like observing his pattern. Trying to get it down, maybe thinking that there's a special attack that he does where he leaves his hand out and then you hit that. Because there, you know, bosses that do that, that sort of a thing.
Ceaseless but discharge.
He was much too fast for that. And so I started looking around and I'm like, wait, that route looks like the routes that I walked on to get here. I'm going to try to get to it. And then I got killed. Walking up to it. Then I got killed by trying to walk onto it and falling in the wrong place. Then I got killed
by a hand swipe.
Then I got killed trying to jump on it and missing. Then I got killed by jumping into it and getting slapped and scooped into the pit. Then maybe other deaths in between. But I was determined.
There were a couple where you just walked in the room and died immediately.
Yeah,
there were bets going on in the zoo, Price is Right style, to see who could guess the number.
Then after all of these many deaths, I got on the route, and I'm like, all right, I'm on it, and I got killed by fire, and shoved off. But I knew that I could be on it. So I'm like, all right, we're going to do this. And eventually I got on the route and walked to it. And there's like another place to go. And I'm like, why is there another area here? Whatever, really hit stuff. And then fire appeared around me, but it didn't hit me. So I'm like, whatever. And there was this tiny little baby thing. And I crushed it in one hit.
And you found Bob the Goldfish at the end of the fight.
I did, having predicted out loud that it was Bob the Goldfish the whole damn time, and knowing for certain that I would feel completely unfulfilled having done it, and sure enough I did. So that was my bit of prediction that came true.
Yep.
And I hated it.
Yep, that's basically it.
Bed of Chaos is, in my opinion, and it is the worst designed boss fight in the freaking game.
Yeah,
like,
it's one of painful. It's one of the things, like that and the buttress with no clue or design level mistakes, I will call out. I will accept the Crystal Cave Zone. I will accept Death Elevators. I will accept so much.
Oh man, the one in Sen's Fortress that's like, it's like, oop, I'm on the elevator.
I love those things. I accept all the super
I felt that
upgrade
one
paths. I will not accept Bed of Chaos.
I felt the death elevator was okay because it had blood all over it, and I kind of looked around.
Well, the death elevator I was talking about.
We looked up at it, and like, we're like, yeah. Oh, there's spikes up there.
Well, the death elevator I was talking about is the really rickety wooden wheel one in the swamp that you fall off of and die.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I will not accept the Bed of Chaos. That is a... It is not a Dark Souls boss.
It isn't.
It's a platforming challenge.
It is like a Super Mario boss.
It is. Oh my god. You jump over Koopa. Yeah, and then
you hit it three times in its weak point.
Yeah, you go, you chop, you get the axe, you cut down the bridge, he dies. That's what it is.
Anyway, that worked. And there was a bonfire there, and he got the Lord's Soul, and I'm like, oh, alright, now, was there only four of these guys that I was supposed to fight, or are there more? Because it had been too long, and I had forgotten how many, and it turned out that was enough. There are only four of them.
Thank God.
I had to fight the four or five or more Lord Vessel Souls, or whatever. But, opening the final door, I felt felt about correct. The descent, the stairway from heaven.
That is a real yeah. That the entire kiln is such a damn cool area.
Mm.
I really like all of it. It's sort of a slog to fight back to it after you get your ass kicked by Gwyn, but I never minded it that much because it was all just so cool and great, and the fight
was.
In the Black Knight is fun.
You fight the Power Rangers.
Yeah, you fight the five Black Rangers.
The five knights.
You fight Black Ranger, Black Ranger, Black Ranger, and Black Ranger.
Well, I consider them colored by the kind of Titan knight that they dropped.
Okay.
Because there's like a blue and a white one, a normal one, and a red one, and another normal one, and I'm like, okay, two Black Rangers, whatever. But like, I all too often like critical attacked that guy off a cliff. So
yeah.
Yep.
And then his thing was floating in the abyss. And, well, I'm sorry, not actual abyss. You can't walk on that.
And abyss, not the abyss.
And abyss.
It was just floating there, and I'm like, I should not get that. Whatever.
But you're walking into a place called the Kiln of the First Flame, and there's been some sort of apocalyptic firestorm that's made everything opalescent and charred.
It looks awesome. The whole area looks really great, and I have to give it up for that.
And you're fighting the most badass enemies in the game to get to the final boss. It's just great.
That one felt basically appropriate. The fight with Gwyn himself felt appropriate. I worried that I was using a too slow weapon against him.
But you figured out the strategy that works really well against him and his kind of elemental weakness, as it were.
Yeah,
you were so on point that night.
I'm like, I gotta try parrying him. And when I did, it took off a third of his health. And I'm like,
you're learning the parry on Gwyn. You're just like, it's time to learn the parry on Gwyn.
Nobody fights Gwyn the first time and knows you can parry him. He's a boss. He can't. And then you just do.
No.
Oh my god.
He's not just any boss. He's like my size and does attacks that are not with a gigantic plank of wood or something. Like,
nah, just a
if he had some
sword that's on fire.
Look, as long as the thing was smaller than a boat oar, I felt like I could parry it.
Yeah.
And it was that. So I did. And I'm like, this is now the plan. Let's also take help.
Yep. Yeah, I know there was... We were setting up for... like, myself and Gnome were setting up, like, the tri-humanity things, and I was putting a red symbol down to try to get you for a duel.
Because that was I at first.
That almost worked.
You were finally at the level that my character that I finished on the stream was at, so I ran all the way through New Game Plus on that character to get to the kiln so that I could try and duel you there. And there were a lot of summon signs there. And that place is a pretty active, at least like zone. Kind of PvP zone, because anybody who has access to it, the boss is necessarily not beaten.
Mm.
Because you beat the boss new game cycle starts.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, like, and so, you know, you saw a bunch of helpers there. I think Kavanaugh had his sign.
Yeah, Kavanaugh popped up for the first time. I'm like, oh, hey,
the trash.
This is really important. Yeah. At that point, like, when I saw Kavanaugh there, I decided that there was nothing after this guy, and I was just going to go for it. Because I didn't know if that was actually the final boss.
Yeah.
I guess I hadn't paid enough attention to where they said, oh, Lord Gwyn and shit. And
yeah. He was... He feels final, but you never really know.
Yeah.
Right. He gets the music.
He felt like he could have been a gatekeeper to a final boss, or like Final Fantasy style. He'll like have a second form and be like, also, I am a majestic dragon. And so it's like bust out with something like that.
And the fight is really good, too. But, I really like.
But yeah, more importantly than Lord Gwyn was the fact that after I summoned help, you showed up.
I showed up. And I tried to crush you, and you got me.
I managed to... Well, it was like double-teaming you, because I had Lady Perth around at that point, so I don't feel like it was a real victory, exactly. Mm-hmm. I did critical... Double-hand critical attack you from behind with the +3 Dragon Tooth, and you lived?
And you even had... You even had the ring on. Notice your special animation from the Hornet ring?
I didn't notice a special animation, but I did notice that the numbers got higher against the Black Knights.
Ah, right.
So, well,
against humans, you do like a sick, nasty animation that like shows you're being a dick lord with your with your critical ring.
You get the taunt attack. You get the
Oh. And I was like, oh crap! How am I alive?
So I was astonished that you were alive. And I thought at that point that you were, like, some kind of immortal being. What in the world? I hit him with the giganticest thing as hard as possible.
Well, I had a lot of health, and I had the most upgradedest armor.
Okay. And
I was running... I was wondering if I should run away and put on, like, a real weapon. Because that weapon wasn't upgraded all the way and was, like, a gimmick weapon. To at least kill Lady Perth with, and I was like, "Nah,
wait,
let's do this."
If I remember that fight right, it started. You show up, Lady Perth shows up, and you both start doing like DBZ blast.
Yeah,
I was just like, "What the hell's even going on?" Here?
Explosions. That's what.
So
I am coming for you, Kakarot.
That felt like the perfect way to end the stream. Is first beat up Gnome Bitten. Then beat the final boss. Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you ever want to fight me, head on, square, fair. You know where to call me.
I actually don't. I'll have to learn how to invade and...
Because
that's something I've never done.
Right, because the red... So you had the white and the orange soapstone, but the red one is gated in an area you never visited.
Mm-hmm. And the red cracked eye orb you can find in extremely limited amounts hidden around the world. But the only repeatable source of them is hidden behind a secret ritual.
Beautiful. I'm glad that there's like plenty more to the game, and I'm certainly going to play it in future.
Game is imminently replayable.
The moment, I am more than a little fatigued of it, having played for over 80 hours regularly once a week for the last several months.
Like, there was a break with the Fiesta, but
yeah. I can say I very much enjoyed, like I said, I kind of ran my character through to get to the kiln, and I hadn't really touched Dark Souls 1 since getting 2, and it's a lot of fun to go back to. It's such like Noam just said, it's very replayable. You can play in a lot of different styles, and there's so much to it.
Man,
like a real Metroid.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a real Super Metroid.
I think it honestly compares very well to Super Metroid. God, right down to some of the completely bad decisions and corner cases that come up in rooms you just stop visiting after a while because you have your route.
Yep.
And you've just sort of forgotten about.
Who fights Spore Spawn, really?
Spore Spawn.
Gee, what a waste of time, apparently. Like,
Even in the 100% run, he's just nope.
I'm honestly thinking more of the places in, also, spoilers, Super Metroid, if that's a thing. But the places in Meridia where you can get grabbed by a little arm and tucked into the sand, and then you're in a sand hole as a transition screen to another screen, and you can't go back that way, and enemies attack you that you cannot defend yourself against while you are falling down and can't control yourself.
Sand.
Sand.
It's pretty damn sloppy in that place. But, you know, if you know how to go through Meridia, you just sort of like, oh, that's the route. Screw all those other rooms, and you don't fall into pits. And
yep.
Yeah.
It's really a game like Super Metroid that really, you can play it more the better you know your way around. Like, I've spent so much more time dicking around and, like, trying new things than I ever did on my first playthrough. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I can only hope you get almost as much time out of the game as I did. Bang for my buck, I got a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. So I guess this is a recommendation, finally. And I also, hey, in case you haven't watched the entire thing and got to the end, I get to defraud everyone.
You do.
What I planned to do from the get-go was that I like Dark Souls. I get to like Dark Souls because I did it myself. I didn't get any information. I just had to crush everything with a raw club. So all of you don't like the game of Dark Souls. You like the game of people telling you how to play Dark Souls.
Abkes, do you like Dark Souls Prepare to Die Edition?
I guess not. I haven't been to that part.
You haven't played that game yet, huh?
Nope.
Well, stuff to look forward to.
But it definitely is. And the embargo is lifted. I'm not going to, like, run the hell away from anyone talking about Dark Souls. I caught snatches of someone in a public place playing Dark Souls on his laptop, and I walked the other way.
Wow.
I had to get away from that because
the embargo holds.
I caught just enough of it to see the humanity number and see the controller in his hand. I'm like, I mistakenly learn something.
I had to learn chat commands to enforce that embargo.
Yeah, slash clear.
Clear. Chat room cleared by moderator.
Yep. So yeah, in the end, you can give it a recommendation.
Absolutely can. I think it's great. I think there is much, much, much more good design than bad. It's hard but fair. There's a ton of skeletons. The messages are charming. There's a great deal of reward for trying new things and approaching situations with just a rational mindset and thinking your way through things that actually works.
Yeah, patience. Like
in so many video games, it's not logic that you're using. It's stupid video game logic that you're using.
It's rote memorization,
right,
of... Oh,
If I put the banana on the string and put a stick in the banana, I can fish my keys out of the sewer.
Right, there's none of that.
Yeah.
There's maybe a tiny little bit of it, but it's mostly just, this is an enemy, it's trying to kill you as hard as it can. Deal
Crush
with it.
Him.
And you... in that sense, it felt much more real than other video games. And not just for the aesthetic, which, you know, okay, they have, like, photorealism stuff, and, like, the whole stamina mechanic is, I think, the central hanging point of this whole thing, where most any other video game, you press attack, you get the attack animation, whatever, and it's, like, free, there's warm-up and cool-down frames that you don't ever see, you just sort of, like, run, hack, 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 slash, slash, slash. That will ruin you immediately in Dark Souls.
Right, yeah. You've got the green bar.
Got the green bar. And everything deals a lot of damage. Like, you get hit by a sword, and it hurts. What?
Yeah, that's another part of it that felt very, like, true to life for the most part.
You came back to the undead burg the second time around, and you felt extremely powerful, but you also, even then, still had to, you know, like, demand some respect out of the enemies, or else they still deal damage.
Right. They burn me with fire again, and I'm like, oh, man, these guys are still dangerous. What the hell?
Yeah, nothing in the game ever stops being dangerous. Hmm. Well... The four idiots on the way to Undeadburg from Firelink Shrine.
They stop being real.
Those guys stop being dangerous. Almost everything past that point, though. Kill you.
I really like the game for that, for treating the central mechanic as so important that you're tied to it. Every enemy you face is tied to it.
Well,
you have to understand this and work with it.
Yeah. They don't really have stamina, but they do have like cooldowns. Yeah.
They behave as if they did. And yeah. I think that's important enough, and that's like enough of a link that it basically works. What else, now that I'm just sort of sitting and gushing about Dark Souls, was excellent. There were just a lot of triumphal moments where I had to do something. I knew I had to do it. I knew there was no way around it. And I had chosen my path, figured out as much as I can, and it was down to performing it. You know, once the information is there, once the veil is off and there's nothing more to learn, now you just have to do it.
Yeah. And
so while knowledge is very helpful, it is not everything. And if you are clumsy, or if you don't get the timings of things, or if you're just bad at it, with all the knowledge, it won't help. You'll get cut and crushed and...
It's a skill-intensive game, but it doesn't require extreme precision of skill like some other games do. It mostly just asks for your patience to learn.
That's the biggest thing it asks for, is time, and that its punishment is like harsh on death, but the fact that you can recover what you lost and the fact that there are stakes to death.
Yeah.
Makes it a little more real as well.
Death, it's weird. It's at one point has a stake and yet is also cheap. Like, there's little cost to it most of the time.
Right, especially if you're determined to just get back to the boss.
Yeah.
Then you're 0-0 and you're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, this is the same as if I had just died anyway. So then the cost is comparatively minor there. And barring a couple situations, you can usually rapidly get back to the point where you need to be.
Right, there's a couple, like the Bed of Chaos, again, stands out as...
I honestly think that the Undead Burg is about as hard as it gets. The walk from the bonfire to the Minotaur demon, the Taurus demon, that was tough.
Yeah, and it sort of forces you to fight a lot of dudes so you can learn to be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you, because at that point you are new to the game. It forces you to kind of become skilled, or you won't make progress. You need to learn what skills you are going to use, even if they're not skills the game wants you to. Mm. If you want to kick everybody into a cliff, off a cliff, that's a skill. You can use it.
That's right, so, near the beginning.
The cliff. So while we're winding down, is there anything about the game that stuck out to you as like a game mechanic or just anything else that you just wanted to know how it worked or wanted to know anything about it?
Man, I want to know more about things that I missed, really. Not so much what I experienced, but what I missed, what I didn't experience.
Like the areas and such?
Yeah, like new areas, probably just different weapon types and different like attack. Through the entire game, I was using a club and then a bigger club.
Yeah.
And even the axe was sort of similar to the club.
I never really touched other weapons and attack types, so... I think that's where I would start.
There are definitely recommendations for that.
Mm.
And another important thing that kind of goes along with that is how equipment load works.
Yeah, I never really...
Oh, that's a hyper-important thing.
Yeah.
That.
You have a couple different stages of equipment load. You have under 25% of your total weight you can carry. And while you have under 25 or under percent, like stuff you're wearing, stuff you're holding, weapons, armor, shields, you move fast. Like your jog speed is faster.
Mm-hmm.
Your roll is much faster and has more invincibility frames.
There are invincibility frames.
There are invincibility frames. You're on the rolls.
Your fat roll has almost none, but there were still points where you used it.
Yeah, fat roll has invincibility frames, but they're hard to use.
Wow.
So the fast roll has the most and is also fast and covers the most ground.
I am a blunt object. Oh, man.
And then anything above 25% and below 50%, you have the medium roll, which is what people have most of the time.
Hmm.
You sort of have a normal jog. Your roll looks like sort of like a guy trying to roll. Not and then like anything above 50 has the fat roll, which is the one you're familiar with.
where yep. You look like you're just like thump into
the... Like, grr. And like you have the trundle.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything
I'm very familiar with that movement.
And then anything above 100%, you can just walk like you're in the swamp and you can't roll at all. And that's unplayable. So, yeah.
Yep.
That's how equipment load works. And that's important for different play styles. Like, if you want to be medium armored with a pretty big weapon, you can do medium roll. You can have the fat man cometh.
Like, you can set up, like, a light... You can set up, like, a medium setup, but wear the hovel's ring to give you the light roll.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's very common.
Or you can set up, like, a really light setup with, like, the poise ring, where you can take a hit or you roll to avoid all damage because you've got the invincibility.
Worth noting, you don't have to use a light weapon in order to be effective with a light roll.
Huh.
Having a huge weapon, and if you're still underweight for enough to have a light roll, that could be extremely effective.
Yeah, if you're the naked man with the dragon tooth.
Ha!
Yeah, that is fine enough. Just awesome. Being fast that way.
Or you're just like, all right, I'm gonna wear gloves.
That's well wrapped up. I have kept you guys for 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours talking about this. So I'm going to cut this into multiple casts.
I have one more question, though.
Yeah.
What is the item that you use to cure curses with? Jens?
The divine vial thing?
That would be the purging stone.
And what does the purging stone look like, Jens?
Skulls.
Skulls.